Blog Talk Radio.
This is Autoline This Week, the show that gets you inside the global automotive industry. Underwriting for the production of Autoline This Week has been provided by RSM.
Prepare for challenges specific to your business by working with trusted advisors who help turn obstacles
into opportunities. You know.
Experience the power of being understood. RSM, audit, tax, and consulting for the middle market.
And now, here's your host, John McElroy.
I want to thank you all for joining us on AutoLine This Week. Today's topic is all about labor negotiation, the UAW, and what's going on there. And I've got three experts to talk about it, including Kristen Dechek. She's the Vice President of Industry, Labor, and Economics at the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor.
Hi, John.
Art Schwartz is the President of Labor and Economic Associates. And Daniel Howes is the Associate Business Editor and a columnist with the Detroit News. And I want to thank you all for being here today. Daniel, let me start with you. I think we have to start this out with talking about all the corruption that's going on at the union. And we should warn the audience that we're taping the show early. Things undoubtedly will have changed by the time this airs, but there's still plenty to talk about right now. The corruption levels, it just seems to be going farther and farther up the union level with its officers. What are we going to see here? Are all the officers going to get broomed out of the union? The top one.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily think that all of the officers, but I think you have a situation where the President Gary Jones, who just is taking a leave of absence right now, he's likely to be indicted based upon what we're seeing. And a number of people who are have been allies and aides of his have been charged. And some of them, it appears, are cooperating with the government.
Somebody sent me this and asked me to play it. I'm not going to play all of it. It's just a couple more minutes. Adrian, I think you're on. I believe. Adrian, Carrie. Somebody? It's 734. I know I put you on.
Former President Dennis Williams also has been identified as one of the people. UAW official B, the Detroit News, has confirmed the identities of a number of these people, Gary Jones and Dennis Williams principally. This roll-up continues. So far, there have been 12 people charged, and there have been 10 convictions. I think you can expect that at least one of the other two is likely has already cut a deal with the government and will be testifying against other people as far as this moves forward.
You know, I'm astonished at times to find out that while we here in the automotive industry are really on top of the story and know what's going on, largely the rest of the country doesn't know a thing. Just give us a quick thumbnail, very quick, of what's going on.
Well,
they're crooks. That's what's going on. Until somebody pushes one, okay, I got 734. You pushed one. I put you on, but you're not talking. Scott's not here tonight, so you're stuck with me. But if anybody would like to push one, I'd be. The chat room is closed by the administrator, which is me, and I don't know how to reopen it, and it was a mistake that it was apologized. So. Sorry about the chat room. There's 260 is in there, and another 734 is in the switchboard. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to just join anything, join the conversation, please push one. Help a brother out. I don't know, 734, 730, being awful quiet. I think that's Adrian. Not sure. Let me put her back on mute and come back. Let's see if this works. No, that apparently doesn't work. Adrian, if that's you, please hang up and call back in. It could be that my switchboard doesn't work. And that would be one hell of a shame. All right, somebody hung up. That might be, I don't know who that is. Okay. All right. I'll go back to playing about the corruption. Okay. 734 is back on. Push one if you are wanting to speak. Okay. Thank you. Let me see. Are you on? I hear something.
Good evening.
There you are. Thank goodness. The show is all yours.
Oh. Well, I love being on the show with you.
Yeah. I bet you just do.
I guess everybody else had too much turkey, huh?
Well, no, we got a lot of people in the switchboard, but nobody wanted to push one, and that's just how it works. Sometimes you get stuck like that, you see. I was playing.
Yeah.
Well, no, you were here a few minutes ago. Could you hear what I was playing?
Yes, I could.
Okay.
It was coming through loud and clear.
All right.
And I know that it's a little dated because we have 16 guilties.
16?
And I think he said 13. So he had said that, you know, by the time we hear this, it might be more.
Yeah, well, he was right. He was
absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Adrian? Should we? I here's what I believe. I think everybody that was in office at Solidarity House when this was going on should be thrown out of office. Because I believe they knew. I believe they knew, and they didn't do a thing about it.
And I'm in agreement. One of the things, like I said before, what troubles me is the trustees also.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the trustees are signing off on things. What, you don't care what you sign your name to?
That's
right. That makes you very complicit. It almost says to me that you were being paid to shuck, for not a better word, your responsibilities, because everybody knows that you have a fiduciary responsibility when you are a trustee,
right,
whether you are paid or not. You still have to follow the GAAP, which is General Accounting Principles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know about those. So therefore, you know, some people think that you can't be a degreed person and be a UAW member. Let's get past that, because a lot of people who have obtained degrees, they were on the plant floor at one time.
That's right.
So let's get beyond that.
Yes.
You do need people that know what they're doing in those trustee positions so that they can say, no, we're not signing off on this.
They got a big responsibility. And you're right about degrees and working on the plant floor. I worked next to a lawyer and many teachers in my 35 years.
Yes. Matter of fact, when I got hurt on the job, and Ford's didn't want to give me any workman's comp or anything, I didn't have a problem with that. Someone recommended this attorney to me. And I did some research on him before I went to him.
Right.
But after I went to him, I found out he had worked on the Rouge. He started out on the plant floor. And he also became an engineer.
That's right.
And he went to law school. And he still worked right there at Ford's on the Rouge while he was setting up his law practice.
Well, I tell you, another person that doesn't have a big education, but you all know he's a friend of mine, Bob Seeger. He worked at Ford. he worked at Ford, and he didn't last but a few weeks. He said that was the hardest job he's ever had in his life. He told me, he said, he came, you know, he did that like a rock, you know. He allowed General Motors to do that. So he toured our plant, and I was with him, and he said, man, these people work their ass off for every dollar, don't they? And our union guy was kissing his ass. Yeah, man, they work hard. They work so, and they do. Bob said, yeah. Bob told his story. I already knew it, but he told the boys, hey, I couldn't do it. I couldn't hack, let alone 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Steve Harvey said the same thing.
Yeah, Ricky Leach, a Tiger baseball player for a little while. Yeah. He worked at General Motors at the truck plant in Flint. I played baseball with him. So we had a lot of people. You know, you remember when they would bring people in the summertime, and they go back to school in this, you know, September, they'd be gone.
Yes.
They were just there as a summer replacement, you know, vacation help. That's all.
Right.
And they would come in, and like May, we train them, and then they stay till September, and they were gone.
That's right.
And they made, and
yeah,
they
my
made
husband did
made.
A stint like that.
Yeah, what that?
With General Motors. He worked at Detroit Diesel.
Oh, okay.
A summer help, and it was funny, you know. He said, "Oh, yeah, the work is so hard."
That's what Ricky Leach said too. He said, "Damn, you know, he at that time he was a baseball player for Michigan." And before, well, he signed with Bo Schembechler to play quarterback, but he also played baseball because he's a damn good ball player. He was a great athlete. He came up to me and he said, us Southwestern boys, man, we're tough. That's how he was talking when he was hired in. Oh, we're tough. I'll be able to handle this. Oh, man. A week into that, man, he was so sore. He said, I didn't know I had muscles in my ass. He said, my ass even hurts.
Yeah, that assembly is something else. I have to say hats off to anyone that can hang with assembly.
Yeah, assembly line work. That's when they get paid a little bit more.
They should.
Yeah. I agree. I worked in a parts plant, and when we shut down to build a van, and it was changeover, and I went to Lansing and Oldsmobile, and I got in trouble, and they gave me an option. I hit the committee man, so they gave me an option, either get fired or go to Saginaw. I said, I'm going to Saginaw. So I went to plant 4 in Saginaw, and my God, it was the easiest job. I never made so much money in my life. I mean, I was so damn. They would call me on a Saturday morning, ask me to come in, tell me they'd pay me 8 hours, and I could be done in 2, because that's all I did was build up. I wouldn't rotate. I said, I'm not rotating. I got seniority, and I ain't taking a seniority person's job.
Mm-hmm.
So I never rotated one time in general at the truck plant or Saginaw or Lansing, but they were pushing it. They were pushing it. And now everybody in Saginaw was rotating. Yeah, they sure as hell were. They'd stop the line for 1 minute and everybody switched jobs. And I'm sitting there watching these poor people. And man, they were quick. I'm telling you, they were quick.
Yeah, I don't.
Quick hands like
they
did,
like the
I'd never get married. I mean, they had some fast hands. Let me get 313 on. 313, you are on. Okay. Either the phones are dead or something. I don't know what the hell is going on. 313. There goes an email. 313. I'll put you back on mute and push it again and see if it comes up. 313. apparently. If you can hear me, 313, call back in. And
I'm at work.
Oh, okay. You pushed one on the keypad. So you pushed one on the keypad, and that shows. Okay, everything's fine. You're fine, brother. There's a working man right there. You hear that?
No, I know that's right.
Yeah,
make
damn.
That money.
Yeah, you on a Sunday, you make it, baby. I might want a loan. Oh, man. People have seen me out on the streets and that I used to work for, with, not for, but with, and they wanted me to thank you for your information because they're getting bombarded by all this bullshit.
Oh, it's unreal. It's unreal. I'm still getting stuff through the mail.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still watching the commercials on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm still breaking them down. It's sad because they make it sound like, we're going to give you this money back.
Oh,
better
yeah.
Better think about it.
Yeah, you better.
You know.
Yeah. Hold on for a minute, Adrian. We got 42 people in the chat. I mean, not chat because my chat's off. But yeah, in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push 1. And here comes, I think this would be Carrie. I think I recognize her name. Carrie, is that you? Oh, my God. Nothing's working today. All right. DTR is at it again. Let me put her back on mute and put her back on and see if it works. I don't know. 734, you're on? Nope. She's not on. Well, it gives me a minute here. I'm trying to raise a few bucks for my buddy Scott Parrish. He's raising money to pay for a stem cell treatments as a way to treat his end-stage retinal kidney disease. Right now, the only options available for treating kidney failure is either dialysis or a kidney transplant, which can take a minimum of 3 to 5 years. He has been on dialysis for the last 3 years, and that's a temporary solution. A stem cell treatment can provide. What is that noise? Hold on, folks. Let me see if something's going on. Okay, maybe it's gone now. Can provide a possibility of regenerating his kidney without the chance of rejection. Unfortunately, stem cell is not covered by insurance because it's considered alternative medicine. This is why he's asking for help. Any amount, no matter how small, will be greatly appreciated. His name is Scott Parrish, P-A-R-I-S. And you can go to Fundraiser. Adrian, mute your phone for a minute. Let me see if that's your phone. Mute your phone.
Might be.
Okay, that's her phone. Fundraiser, F-U-N-D-R-A-Z-R. That's F-U-N-D. razr.com. Scott Parrish. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. He's a damn good friend. So help him out if you can, folks. Let me try to get... Okay, Adrian, you can come back on.
All right.
Okay. Something's always messing up.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of people on the switchboard, man. I thought they would take Thanksgiving off, but apparently not. Thanksgiving weekend, I thought, okay, a lot of them's going to have a 4-day weekend. They sure as hell don't want to talk about union business. I guess they do.
Yeah, and then you go back to work tomorrow. You know, you live union all the time, whether you're at work or off of it.
That's right.
Even though you enjoy your family and everything, but that's just a part of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. By the third day, though, Adrian, I was ready to go back to work. I wanted to get away from my family. I did not like them, and being with them for 4 days was, that was terrible. I couldn't
wow.
get back to work. Get on back on the line.
I always enjoyed all my time off with my family. My family is so small.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we know what you and your husband do, you see. We know that.
You know.
He's spanking it all day long. I know what's going on.
And he's getting ready to leave for, he'll be gone, for 5 days.
Uh-oh.
We haven't did this one in years where we're separated for that amount of time.
Yeah.
But his brother had a stroke, so.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Doing better. He's improving. So I said, well, you know, for your birthday, which his birthday is the 6th. And so I said, I'm going to send you there to see your brother. And you can spend your birthday with your brother. And, you know, that means that you'll check on him and let me know. How he's doing.
Right. You're just trying to get rid of your husband. We know that trick.
Yeah. And then everybody's worried about, well, mom's going to be home by herself. What are we going to do?
Well,
of course, I'll have a fur baby here with me.
Okay. But that's good. But my previous two wives told me to take a trip, too. When I came back, they were gone. And that's the truth.
Oh, no.
I remember, hold on, I got to tell you, my first marriage, and she's a wonderful person. We're good friends. And I introduced her to her husband she's got now.
Because
he's my best friend. And he's a good guy. And she's a good lady. It just didn't work out. When I was a disc jockey, you know, I was playing around all the time, but we won't tell the lawyers. Anyway, I was working second shift at the plant. And on the weekends, I was a DJ. But I worked over on a Saturday, and I came home. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We went 9 hours. I get the key in the door, I open it, and I got a chair right pretty to the door. I sit in, take my work boots off. I fell back, trying to sit on the chair. There wasn't a damn chair. There wasn't nothing. I had to go get not even a light bulb. Not even a light bulb. Oh, I mean, she took everything. And I got my flashlight, and I said, Jesus. I never seen a house so clean. There wasn't a thing in there. And all my clothes were out in a damn shed. I said, damn, what did I do to deserve this? I know what I did. I had to pay child support. That's what I got to do. And it was worth it. She's a great lady. And that really happened. I kind of sat back and fell right on my ass. I thought, wow, she changed the room around. And I kept going around. I couldn't see nothing. It was darker than hell in there. And where the TV was, wasn't there. I felt the cable wire. Nothing was. I kept following the cable wire till the end. And I said, man, I think something's wrong. I finally, a light bulb went off in my head that, I think we're getting a divorce and I just don't know about it. Anyway, I got many of those stories. I'll start crying if I keep talking, so I'm going to shut up. I'll just shut up. Go ahead, Adrian. It's all yours before your husband attacks you.
Oh. Well, like I say, he's going to be leaving and going to see his brother, and the granddaughters are going with him. And so I'll have one of the fur grandbabies here with me because I can't keep both of them because the dog doesn't like the cat and the cat doesn't like the dog. The cat growls at the dog. Have you ever heard of such?
No. Are you kidding? No, it's like,
the cat is a little bitty cat.
Oh.
And the dog, she's, about 100 pounds. And it's like, oh, no. No, I can't keep both of y'all. Only one of you all can come here at a time.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time. You're going to be wore out.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, the children, my children, mom's going to be home by herself? I'm like, yep, me and my trusty shotguns, we'll be right here. Because you know I'm not afraid.
Nope, double lot buckshot. That'll work.
Yeah, I think the delivery men were scared to deliver the packages to the house. I had one to leave a package at the first pole that is close to the road. He saw the no trespass signs. I'm like, but when you order stuff, you take stuff up to the doors. You saw those no trespass signs and it scared you? One left a package out by the mailbox, and the mailbox sits across the road. I'm like,
damn.
What is wrong with you? I've never had that happen.
You got a hell of a reputation. Yeah.
I don't bother nobody.
No. You just go to the door with your shotgun in your hand. Yeah.
I've only had to do that once.
Well,
only had to do that
to get
once.
Get it around, Adrian. Come on. It only takes one time going to the door with a shotgun before the neighborhood knows about it. You know that.
Yeah,
that's great.
I bet you that one won't do that again.
No.
The guy came up to the door and asked for somebody that didn't live here. And, my husband, James, he's a really nice guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He opens the door and he says, that he doesn't live here. That person you're talking about, we don't know him. He doesn't live here.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy kept on this is the address he gave me. Now, Don, our house sits an acre and a half in from the main road.
Damn.
Wow. And I was working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still in the bed, but I heard all of this going on. I had on some little short baby doll gown.
Oh, I bet you did. Talk to me. Talk to me, Mama.
My hair, my hair is about down to my shoulder blades.
Oh, yeah.
But my hair was all over my head. I got up, I grabbed the shotgun, and I stood right at my bedroom door, and I aimed that shotgun at that guy.
Oh,
and I said, didn't he tell you that no damn Russ live here? If you don't get the off my porch. The guy, his wife was coming, and when she saw that shotgun, and he turned around and took off.
Wow.
They got in their car and got out of here.
The lady with wild hair wearing a baby doll, in her baby doll, had a shotgun in her hand.
Right.
No. And that's a turn on for most people, but... Damn.
Oh, it was so funny. James turned around and looked, and he said, oh, because he didn't know that the guy
came. Oh, he didn't know that you were behind him with a shotgun. I got it.
Yeah, he didn't know.
That's great.
I said, well, I guess we won't have that problem again.
No, you still don't have that problem.
No.
Wow. Four guys had to go to the bathroom right now. Just think, you and the baby dolls. Oh, yeah. Holding a shotgun. Yeah. Good. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join this conversation, which is all over the place, push one on your keypad and we'll get you on. We do have a show tomorrow night. Big Joe. Oh. Big Joe is going to do a show.
Oh, really?
He's going to do a show, and he's a grumpy. He's irritable. He's mean. He's a prick. So he's going to do a show.
He's real upset still?
He's crying. He's just whining. But he's, he's one of the good guys.
I'll have to call him and say hi.
And just calm him down a little bit. It'll be over soon.
Right, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we can't change anything anyway.
No. Nope.
You know, grumpy old Joe. He was grumpy last night, and he's just grumpy. He's one of the.
Aww.
And Critic got wound up. Critic got all wound up too. So and all hell breaks loose.
Did Bianchi call?
Oh yeah, Bianchi called. Yeah, he called in. He's the only one that didn't lose their mind. I'm just kidding. Those great guys. So tomorrow night at 9, same bat channel. Big Joe will be doing the show. I don't know what it's about. You know, he usually has a theme.
Yeah.
We had to stop an argument last night. Two guys, it had nothing to do with the election at all. And it was just about our rights, it was me and Bianchi against, Joe and, John Doe. I don't know if you remember John Doe when he called in a few weeks ago. And, who was the other one? Tooley. No, that was Nathan from Florida, I think, or North Carolina. I can't remember. I can't remember where they're all from. I usually check out when they call with different area codes. So I just want to know what state they're in. I don't copy anybody's phone number. Not at all.
Well, I want to tell the listeners out there, chime in and. We're not really talking UAW, but we can. It's all based on you, what you want to say, because I didn't have anything set up for tonight other than the reminder of any union member. I don't care if you're UAW or not. Do not sign up for those Medicare programs that you hear about on TV. Or you're getting mail on. Make sure you call your union benefits people. In the case of UAW, call your VEBA program before you do anything. You do not want to lose your health care through your union.
Tell them, Adrian.
Emergency coverage is a duly. From what I understand, it's we may pay out of pocket $250, but with them you may pay $2,500 or more, and you don't want to get yourself tangled up in that.
No, you don't, and you stopped a lot of people. You've helped a lot of people with the
That's
you know
one of my purpose.
Yeah, they see Joe Namath on TV. And if you're as old as me, you know who Joe Namath is.
That's
right. And you got to be an old guy to know who Joe Namath is. But anyway, he's on there telling you how great this plan is. And call today and check out the benefits you get. Yeah.
And you may even be reimbursed $144.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get money back. That's right. I forgot about that.
UAW members are reimbursed half of that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just trying to. Yeah, you get messed in that mess and you untangle it will take you a long time if you can do it at all.
That's correct. And that's the sad part, because they do not want to readily let you go, is from what I was told through our retiree chapter when
right.
we were having meetings. They talked about mm-hmm. it, and they were saying sometimes they could get people back within 3 months, sometimes it was 6 months, and then they were still working on some.
Yeah,
and
so
it's like,
anything can happen in the 3-6 months or more.
Right. We don't know day by day.
No.
You know, no, don't get tangled up in that mess.
Not when you're our age. You know, day by day.
That's
right.
That's for sure.
You don't know when the big glove is going to grab you.
Right. And, you know, I was, like I say, my husband, he worked for the federal government. So he worked for the veterans. And even he said, oh, yeah, I can't get rid of my insurance and go with that, he said, because then they can't get back into their insurance at all. So if he signs up for one of those programs, and so I just take it for the most part that all federal government workers, if they
right.
sign up for that program, they cannot get back into their health care.
My cousin's a retired postal woman, and she said
okay.
the same. Yeah, she said the same thing. I told her
yeah.
about you you telling everybody not to sign up, and she said, oh, yeah, she can't sign up for that. She has already been warned by her union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
You know, UAW doesn't tell you anything, Adrian. They don't tell you anything.
Oh, no, they don't.
And when I was laid off years ago, I was laid off for months, but I was a, you know, I had that, I was a disc jockey and I was making money that way. And I saved my, what do you call it? God, I can't remember what it's called now. You get 52, I had 52 weeks. Oh my
okay.
gosh. You know what it's called when you're laid off back in the day and you got money from the union and General Motors besides unemployment. What the hell was it called?
Was it that wasn't a TRA, was it?
No. I got loaded up on TRA and I never had to pay it back.
That
I don't
was
know
a
how,
blessing.
Yeah, I don't know how I slipped through the cracks, but everybody else had to pay $50 a week. And I was waiting because, I mean, I think I got $18,000.
Okay.
They put a guard on me to walk me to my car. And I had a stack of unemployment checks. Oh, man. that machine just kept rolling these checks out. And I said, Jesus. Ah, man, I'm going to have fun. And I said, well, I'm going to, you know, and then they were talking a few months later that you're going to have to pay it back. I said, that's fine. You know, it's like having a loan, an interest-free loan. So that was fine. That was cool. But it never hit me. They never got me. So I got lucky. Got lucky there.
Well, one of the things that I knew about TRA, there were only two
Mm-hmm.
TRA supervisors in the state of Michigan.
Two?
Yes.
Wow.
One of them happened to be my sister.
Oh. Wow.
The one that passed at the first of the year.
Yeah.
And
she was overworked then because that had to be. There's only two.
She had a lot of soft spots in her heart about people drawing benefits.
Mm.
If she could make it so you could get the benefits,
yeah,
you know, without a problem, she would do that. So she would have to review, you know,
yeah,
so many other cases.
She could have reviewed mine and felt sorry for me. That could happen. I didn't say anything to the boys either. I didn't say a damn thing. And they were all bitching about $50 coming out of their check. I didn't say one word, didn't complain, didn't act like nothing. I just went about my business because I didn't want nobody to turn me in.
And they shouldn't have said nothing either because they got big monies. And they only had to pay $50 back. I mean, you know, each time or a week or whatever.
Yeah, a week till they paid whatever they got back. And nobody got close to what I got that I worked with anyway. I talked to 18,000 was pretty damn high. And I don't know why. People got different amounts. And I have no idea why.
It had something to do with how your job moved. And where it moved to.
Well, hell, my job didn't move. I was laid off. My plant was still working. I was just laid off.
Yeah, but in order to get TRA, some job had to have moved somewhere.
Oh, well, I don't know about it.
And so...
I can't remember everything
about it because that was late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s when I had
it. And a lot of people were hurting then because, I remember that my brother had been laid off for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was broke time for time. That's how long I was laid off. Almost, real close.
Mhm. Well, I know he didn't have to pay it back because he went to school.
Huh?
Yeah, he went to school with his money.
Oh, okay.
And he went. He got a specialty in robotics.
Oh,
that's
there
what
you
he did with him. When he went back to work.
Yeah, that's a smart move. That's a damn smart move.
And folks, young people
that just hired in and got a year or two at General Motors, go to school, learn a trade, do something because you won't have
I recommend that.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, that job's going away.
Right. When you start talking about these electric vehicles.
Yeah.
You have ETAP or what do they call it at General Motors? The school, the education, or monies.
CPAC. Yeah.
Get that money and go to school. Now, I know that a lot of young folks tell you, I don't want to see no school. I'm sick of school.
Yeah.
Take one class at a time. Start yourself off that way.
Use that money. Yeah, I worked with a lot of young people that I felt guilty making what I was compared to what they were making. But we talked, and I said, "Now make damn sure you learn a trade. Be a plumber. Electrician.
Yep.
Look at all these people. You know, riding a bicycle where you're humping the line. You're not going to have this job. You can see it in the future. It's just not going to happen because they're bringing in robots all the time. Our body shop, I used to work in a body shop years ago. A lot of people on the line humping. There was a whole string of robots doing the welding on these bodies.
Right.
And that eliminated, I think they said about 160 jobs.
Every robot.
Did more than one person's job.
That's right.
Yeah, and just learn a trade. Just, go back to school. It isn't going to kill you.
And preferably a trade you can use on the outside.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go for a ballet dancer. Or something stupid like some people.
They don't have
do.
Carpenters anymore in the plants.
No, they don't.
So
they got rid of those a little bit right after I hired in, as a matter of fact. My friend was a carpenter, and he was the last one in our plant. He painted the yellow lines, and he painted the yellow, you know, whatever needed to be painted yellow. And, yeah, it was a great job. He said, but they're eliminating it, and he retired as soon as they did. So that was it. They got outside help, and then you kind of strive to be a janitor. You want to clean the, clean, dump trash.
Right.
You strive for that. Well, they got rid of that too. As soon as I got enough time to get the damn thing, they got rid of it. What do you think?
Right, contracted it out. Got a contract out for
you. That's it.
Yes.
Oh,
they tried
God.
The same thing with the high-low drivers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be material handling.
Right.
In our building. And they tore up so much. They tore up high lows and ran into poles. They got rid of that. They got rid of them and opened it back up to us. Oh yeah, they had.
Yeah, they were talking about doing that at our plant. And I tell you what, I it would be dangerous. Look at Jimmy. He got ran over by one.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
That was an experienced driver. Just think, you get people in there rolling around. That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah, they were quite dangerous. They tore up Dunwich. It was costing our building so much money, they said, oh, no. No, we're going to get rid of this.
Yeah.
And just go back to the... To the people that's here, they want to bid on the job. Yeah, they can bid on it.
Right. Yeah, a friend of mine, he was a team leader in Hilo. He said, oh, man, you got enough time to come on. Well, I'll train you how to drive one. I said, I know how to drive one. I drove one years earlier, and I almost ran over my friend, Larry Cleese, and I said, I ain't getting on one of those things. I'm not going to run up and down, watching for people on a time schedule to get somebody's parts to them. No, I'm not going to do that. Cause, man, everything was timed. You know how it is. You know how it works.
Right.
And you got these little computers on those things now.
Right.
Where you got to be and when you got to get there. And no, thanks. They'd be shutting the line down. So I went to Ford.
When I first went to Ford, that was one of the things that I didn't tell them. I had a federal driver's license. I could drive all kinds of forklifts, high lows, 5-ton, 10-ton trucks. I didn't mention any of that because I didn't want to do that.
You could have got on a skilled trade with that thing.
Yeah, but that was not what my plan was at Ford.
Yeah.
My plan at Ford was for me to end up over at headquarters.
Mm.
That was my plan. I have an accounting degree.
That's right.
But
yeah.
I figured that I should start at the very bottom so that I could understand the operation. And so I started at the bottom, and then I went into machining and became a job setter. Hmm. And then I said, okay, I'm going to take a chance. And I applied for supervision, went into supervision. They kicked me out after 5.5 months. I'm the type of person that, and I had many supervisory jobs before I went to Ford, but I feel like this. We all got a job. You know what your job is. Do your job.
Yeah.
Because we work for these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own this. We work for these people. I got a job to do. I'm going to do my job. You do your job. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't do some of the underhanded things that they wanted me to do.
Right.
to the production workers. And it was like, because see, in my heart, I'm union. I
right.
didn't care that I was supervision. I mm-hmm. can't mistreat people. And so one day, this gentleman cussed at me.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah. He was a higher up. He was higher than I was.
Mm.
And,
oh, yeah.
And he did it in front of a bunch of people. And I didn't have a problem. I just sat there and let him go on. And when he finished, I looked him square in his eye. I told him, don't you ever do that again. You can cuss at me, around me. You can cuss through me. You can make all kinds of jokes.
But not at
me. But when you cuss directly at me,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to like me, so don't do it again.
At least you give them a chance. They don't give you a chance anymore.
Oh, yeah, I gave him a chance. And about, we'll say 3 weeks passed,
mm-hmm.
and he cussed at me on what they call Main Street. That's where everybody's coming through.
I know. I know what Main
And
Street.
All I did was assume the position. And I called him all kinds of big, fat, MFs.
Uh-huh.
I told him that I would whoop his A all over 333,000 square feet. I told him, don't you ever cuss at me again, and I meant that. That boy took off running, and I knew then. I said, oh, yeah, I ain't going to make it in supervision. They're going to kick me out of here.
Yeah, when you do that to the top, somebody above you, like seventh level or eighth level, yeah.
You're done. Well, he was a seven. He was a seven, and I was a five.
Oh, there you go.
he had a problem. He had a problem with the fact that I came in so high in supervision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
And he says, you know, I came in as a one. I said, well, that's your problem. Ain't mine. You know, you probably don't have all the background that I have.
When the hell did he wonder or care? He's a seven. He's making tremendous money.
Right.
And you're five. Why would he give a damn? That's what killed me.
Why would
me.
You care?
Yeah.
You know, and I knew. And see, yeah, this me and this boy going to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, when they sent me back, it was funny. We're sending you back to hourly, and you won't go back to where you were, and you won't get the job that you had. And
yeah.
I just looked at them and smiled because I went right back to where I was.
That
I went
means.
Right back to the job that I had.
Yeah.
And from that point on, it was like, why don't you reapply? Nope, y'all can have that. All my dreams of me going to headquarters,
mm-hmm.
it was over. That was over and done with. Nope, I'm staying hourly. You know, I always looked in terms of jail time.
I'm going
to go to jail. I'm not trying to do that.
For 30 years, you are in jail. That's exactly how I felt, and I thought the same thing. When I walked into this plant, I said, Jesus Christ, this is a small city. And they were whizzing
right.
on scooters and Ford trucks is whizzing by me. My God, how in the hell are you working this mess? And we're touring the plant. You know, these guys are and women are hollering, bring them over here. I got a damn job for them. I'm going,
right.
Jesus. I've seen a lot of prison movies when they're walking past cells and, you know, the guys are trying to get the guys. I said, man, that's what I felt like, a piece of meat.
Yes.
And I got all squared away and everything, and then I was one of the boys. I started hollering at the new hires too, and we only had a couple more batches of new hires, and that was it. And for the longest time, we didn't hire anybody, and then we got these tier people, you know. They come in at whatever, $15, whatever in the hell it is. That's terrible. That, the union allow that. That is, we should toss them out just for allowing that to happen.
Yes, I think so. I don't think that that should have ever happened.
But you know what, Adrian? People with our time in the plant, we voted. I didn't vote for it, but, you know, it was the people with seniority voted for that.
Right.
And so I'm afraid when all of us are gone, they're going to pay us back in spades because they're going to get a $15,000, $20,000 bonus to screw us. That's what I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's well, they can't do anything about the pensions.
No, that's solid. That's solid.
And they can't even do anything about the health care because that's already set aside through the VEBA.
Yeah, and that's
this is VEBA. Why, you know, I tell you every year, somewhere between January and March, you get a letter about that VEBA. Pay close attention to that letter because it tells you how much money is in the VEBA program.
And there's a hell of a lot.
Yes, and each one of them are separate. You do know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Chrysler has its own. General Motors has its own. Ford has its own. They cannot borrow from one to the other.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I remember when they were talking about this VEBA, there was a corporation that went to VEBA and they went out. I mean, it was done. They went belly up, their VEBA. I can't remember what corporation it was, but that was going big around the plant. Nobody wanted this VEBA, but all of a sudden we had it. So we couldn't do anything about it. And I just got a letter.
I never wanted the UAW to have that. I was against them having control over that. Because I was already looking at what they were doing with the strike fund. And I'm like, you know, these crooks are going to steal. They may be able to steal from that program.
Yeah.
But, you know, so
Seven.
Far, it doesn't seem like it's going to liquidate.
Or it looks good for our, you know, I'll be dead and gone before I think it's done. But, you know.
Well, the company still put so much money into it. And, you know, by them, they forecast into the future. And you know that you have this amount of people that's going to be eligible. So say I could put $3 in today for each person. I've got 20,000 people.
Right.
And by the time they get ready to retire, for the most part, I'll say that I'll have, out of the 20,000, I'll have 12,000 of them that will retire. But the money's already there for them because that $3, you know, has drawn interest, blah, da, 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 you know, over the years. So that's the way they do it. They amortize it, so to speak. And, you know, it's and that's kind of fascinating, too, to watch that and to see how it grows. And so, anyway, that'll keep the solvency. Now, it'll only go insolvent if monies are not put in and the death rate is decreased. And so the longer people live, and if you don't put money in for those coming behind, that's how you can become insolvent. So it's like I said, it's really interesting when you start looking at those numbers and you try to forecast.
Right.
For the future. But the pensions pretty much work the same way. So,
yeah.
I just have a problem. I mean, I have a lot of problems with GM, but I have a problem with the board that will say, well, that the stockholders, we're not going to put any money into the pension program this time. And it's
right.
like, that is a problem.
That is a problem.
And they've done that. I know of twice that GM has done that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the Ford pension plan is 125% funded. But GM wasn't 100%. And so you have to keep a close eye on that.
Right.
And not only should the members be keeping a close eye on that, I want to know where the hell is Dittus and them damn trustees. See, because they're supposed to be keeping a closer eye on that.
That's right. That's damn right.
And I'm trying to... Carly sent me something.
Yeah.
She's on the line, but she's working.
Oh, that's why she okay, I got it.
She's listening.
Okay, yeah, I know that's her number, so... All right, Carrie. Make that dollar bill. I might have to borrow some money from you, honey.
No, that's right. And she just lives around the corner somewhere from me. She lives close to me.
Well, see, you were in walking distance to her house to get some money. That's
Yeah. Go see her little puppy.
Kevin Matlin, Malin, thank you for following our show. We finally, I know Twitter is taking over 2,000 followers away. We're finally back up to 33,000 followers for this show and the other show. And they took a bunch of, during this election, they have taken a lot of followers. And from everybody. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. You write something nice, they censor you. And that's a bad thing. No matter what. When they censor you, that's not good.
No.
And Trump's black grandson, and that's his name on Twitter. Trump's black grandson says he just wrote and left a message, and I'm listening, but just say I'm still with Trump and will not give up on him. Who's with me?
Oh my!
there's a man that's got hope. Trump's black grandson. That's pretty good news.
Well,
good Lord.
Going to hang with that.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do when this thing's over and you're Trump's black grandson and he's playing golf? He's no longer president. What are you going to do? Change your name again?
I don't know. I would just hope that he'll be able to put everything aside and go with the flow. Now, that's what we all have to do, no matter who's in there.
Yeah.
We got to go with the flow. We may not like it.
Yeah.
But we got to go with the flow.
That's right. You got that right.
You know, a lot of things, and it's a lot of things still happening.
And through my lifetime, we've had good people and bad people run the country. So we made it. So everybody can get along.
Yeah.
Nobody killed each other, and I felt like it many times, but we didn't do it.
Oh boy, it didn't have nothing to do with politics, but
no. Well, that's a fact.
But you know, you know me. I always say that I believe everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Yep.
I may feel you wrong, but hey, you're entitled to it.
Yeah, you told me I was wrong many times,
but can we sit down and converse? That's the thing.
We talked till what, 4:30 in the morning one time. God damn. I never talked to a girlfriend that long. Man. I said, holy shit, it's 4:30 in the morning, Adrian.
4:30, yes.
Remember that? Yeah. And if we can get along, by God, everybody can get along. Because you're
an
avid follower of the other side, and I'm an avid follower of the other side, but we get along.
That's right. I don't understand people that can't get along.
No.
To me, it's silliness. It makes no sense.
It doesn't. It really doesn't make any sense. You're right about
that.
Yeah,
we've got to live in this world together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all think alike. We don't all look alike. None of that.
Keep talking, Adrian. People are still following the show. I keep seeing our numbers go up. Thank you.
Yeah, it's
keep talking.
This we got so much division going on everywhere.
Oh,
our whole society.
Right.
We've got it in our union.
Mm.
We've got it in our politics. I mean, just our communities. Like I said, I just think it's silliness myself.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not healthy.
And here we are. We got a union that steals from us that we can't trust. And we can't trust at all. And there's not hardly a thing we can do about it.
Right.
Right now, anyway. But when we have a chance to do something, it won't get done. We'll keep voting the same people to go to Detroit, and the same people will vote for the same bullshit. whatever Detroit wants them to vote, that's how they'll vote.
Well, there's a problem there, too. And, the delegate system, it's and the way that people have got to stop voting for people because that's my friend.
You're right.
Your friend,
Adrian,
will screw you faster than anybody.
Just stay in the
position
you're in. You're damn right they will. Just stay where they're at. They'll throw you right under the bus.
They'll throw you under the bus. If your friend is knowledgeable, if your friend, you have seen him or her do things positive for the membership, not just you, the membership, then that person is worthy. But I have listened to people when I was in the plant. Oh, I'm just running because I want to get off the line.
Yeah,
I
heard that.
What the hell I want to vote for you for?
Yeah.
Hell, you think I want to be on the line?
Yeah.
You know, and then they get in there and ain't got a clue about nothing. Can't help you do nothing. Know nothing. You know more about the contract than they do. That's a shame.
Yeah.
But that's my friend, and I voted him in. So your friend was better than you.
And our plan.
Your friend wanted to be off the line, and you don't think you're worthy to be off the line. But your friend is.
Our friends we got in our we never seen them until about a month before the election. And then they come out and go, "Oh, how you been?" Many times I said, "I thought you retired." I never seen the damn people, you know. Of course, I never voted for them either.
Right.
Pretty much everybody I voted for lost. Every one of them.
That happened with me too. You know, I'm always looking for people that's knowledgeable in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Know something about the Constitution. Know what's going on in the building. You know, those are the people I was always looking for.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I noticed at the convention in 18, they had a lot of delegates there. Matter of fact, the delegates that came out of my building, I didn't like them either. Never did, because they don't go back and tell you what happened. You know, when they come back from the convention, they don't tell you what was voted on. They don't tell you how they voted. Nothing. And I think that needs to be stopped, too. It should be on the UAW.org. Every delegate's name should be listed.
Mm-hmm.
And how they voted, it should be listed.
Yeah.
That'll stop that lying. I think that there was one delegate that I talked to from Livonia Transmission. I liked her. I can't remember her name right now. But they took a survey at their facility on how and what the members wanted their delegates to vote on, how they wanted them to vote, who they wanted, what team or caucus or whatever you want to call them, who they wanted them to vote.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they took all those surveys, and once they got, you know, the average, this is what they did when they went to the convention. And I thought, I said, oh, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that should go, because now you're representing your members. You're not going in there representing somebody else. You're actually representing the members. And I thought, like I said, I thought that was really a nice thing, a good thing. But for the most part, nobody talks about that room that they took those delegates up into, and how the old heads threatened some of them with, if you don't vote the way we tell you to vote.
Right.
See, nobody talks about that. But that did happen, according to some delegates that came and told us what was going on in that room. And I was, I just shook my head. I just couldn't believe. But then again, I could. Because people that want to stay in power, they don't want to have fair elections. This is some of the things that they do. And it happened at our convention.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's, you know, so I just recommend to everybody to make sure that when you're voting for your delegates, make sure your delegates are for the membership, that it's not their own personal agenda, that they're not going in there and voting the way the caucus wants them to vote.
Right.
No, they should be going in there voting the way the members of that facility want them to vote.
That's right. That's right. You know, we got about 12 minutes to go, but I was supposed to be on a show at 8 o'clock tonight, and I forgot.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, here's the show.
Well, just six months ago,
this
I bet
is
you
live.
Would give me an argument, Colonel, wouldn't you?
This is a former vice president of IBM.
I did not
know
they
went Colonel,
to the professional level of doing this. They've been doing it in these four cities anyway, but not at this at the total unbelievable.
His name is really Colonel Pillow. He's from Alabama, same as me, and he followed our
peers,
show. So
they put on in the courts.
He talked politics.
Do you feel that the judicial system, based on what we've seen in the last, I don't know, how about 20 years, do you think it's still functioning? Is it functioning like it once was? We're both getting up there in age. We're old enough to remember what America was like in the late, at least for me, I remember what it was like in the late 60s and the 70s and the 80s.
I know.
America as it exists today bears no resemblance.
No, it doesn't.
To the America that I have lived in.
I can agree with that. How about you, Adrian?
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
The rule of law is whatever they fucking want to make it.
Whoops.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. You're correct. And,
you're right.
Even in the smallest little town, there's corruption. The people have power, got power. and they use it to put other people down to keep control. It just
It doesn't matter what the beast, end of the aisle you're on, right?
Well, then we've
That's
got
right.
the cartridge box.
That's right. And I wanted Lindsey Graham to lose so bad, but it didn't happen.
You and me both.
Boy, I despise. I don't like rhinos on both sides of the aisle. They need to get the hell out of there. When this thing was put together, you weren't supposed to make a living working for the government. You were supposed to do a couple of terms and go work on your farm or your business or whatever. But you get the hell out of there, because the longer you stay, the more corrupt you get.
That's right.
And there's one guy, and I wish he was a Democrat, and I wish I could think of his name. It was some years ago, about 10
okay.
years ago. He ran and he won, and he those are 2-year terms, so he stayed two terms, 4 years, and he got out. He said, "I got out because I was pressured." I was pressured, and it happens on both sides of the aisle. If I wanted to get support, and that means money, you had to do certain things. You had to have meetings and with certain, corporations and do their bidding for them. And he got out, and he said that happens. That's not just a Democrat thing. It's a Republican thing too.
Yes.
And and you
the
know
lobbyist,
exactly. And Nancy Pelosi's been in there over 30 years, and she's got under her tutelage, she's got millions of dollars, millions.
Right.
And you know how everybody didn't like her, but they voted her back in as Speaker of the House. So,
that's
you know
because
what?
She can get that money.
That's right. You don't get appointed
down to that.
Right. And you don't get appointed to these committees at all unless you're not because you've got experience in the field. You get appointed because you raise the most money.
That's
and then
right.
you get appointed. And that's the truth. And if you don't believe that, just read the book Extortion, and they'll tell you how these people got to be multimillionaires, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me sick to my freaking stomach. Both, they both stink. They all stink.
You know,
you
it's
got more than two terms in the office. You stink too, as far as I'm concerned.
But you know, there, it's just like I say. It looks like our UAW is patterned off of the political system.
I said that many times, Adrian.
Yeah,
many times.
You can look at it, and these people, they get in, and they get what? Lifetime health care, lifetime pension.
Pension.
And it's like same thing in our political system.
That's right.
Now, if you're in there, the way that it was supposed to be set up is like you said. You don't stay in there longer than however the terms were.
This
was
terms.
Not meant for you to be in there a lifetime.
That's right.
You were not supposed to be getting these lifetime benefits.
That's true, too. And it was a part-time job, too, folks.
That's
part-time.
Right. Like, we need to go
part-time.
Back to that.
And you got paid like it was part-time.
Right.
And they would go back to their, farms or whatever they had going on the side, their main money maker.
They were a lawyer, they went back to the law firm or their private practice. If they were a doctor, they went back to being a doctor. But, it's really the weirdest thing, because all of the politicians forget this. And the people seem like they're forgetting this, too. Those people work for us.
Yeah.
We pay them.
That's right.
And the lobbyists is paying them, too.
Exactly. That's the same thing with doctors. I kind of get mad at my wife because she she'll go in and she'll come home. She'll go to the doctor and come home and complain. I said, they work for you. You know how many doctors I fired? I finally found one, and I turned Scott and Gene Shingledecker onto him because he's great. Uh-huh. He saved my life is what he did a few years ago. And they really like the man. He's a great doctor, and I won't be firing him, but I fired everyone, and I look them in the face because if I sit in your waiting room for more than a goddamn hour of my time, and I get in the room, and you come in like, oh, what's your problem? I'm just going to look you in the eye and fire you, and that's what I have done many times. And one time, a doctor, a good friend of mine, he's a friend of mine, and he's a doctor. He left. They forgot me in the room. They were closed. I had to call the truck plant and tell them I'm coming in late. And I just waited in that room, and I heard them giggling as they were coming down, cleaning one room at a time. They opened the door and almost had a heart attack because I'm sitting there. And John came in, said, oh, Don, I'm sorry. I said, you son of a bitch, you're fired. Because I already waited about over an hour in the waiting room, and now I'm missing time at work because of overbooking. When I go to my doctor now, I walk in at 1 o'clock appointment. I always get the last. They give me the last one because me and the doctor have, we talk kind of loud to each other. So make sure I get to 5 o'clock, the last one of the day, because we get carried away. I'll explain that some other time. But we do have a good time. I have a good time going to the doctor, but you know, instead of going every month and getting my medicine, I can call in. I call him, and I don't have to go spend any money. To me, he's saving me money. And he told me years ago, he said, hey, I know you can afford it, but hey, you know, every 3 months, just call me and tell me what you need. Now, I'll take care of you because you're not going to heal. You're not going to heal, and that was 3 months anyway. There's no need to come in and spend, you know, for an office call. And I thought that was cool. Yeah, these folks work for you. I mean, they work.
That's right.
You know, you're the boss, and they don't realize that. A freaking teacher, they work for you.
That's right.
Don't let them look down at you. Don't let them look down on you. Because they work for you without you paying taxes for these asshole teachers. They wouldn't be paid.
That's right.
Oh, I get fired up on that stuff. Oops. You know, people get mistreated so bad sometimes and they don't know what to do. It just upsets me. That's
I don't like it either. You know, it's... I don't know. I'm waiting for what's his name, the FBI. What's his
Barr?
Name? Schroeder, Snyder, whatever his name is. I'm waiting for him to drop this next boot that he's gonna drop.
What are you talking about?
He likes holidays, so he did one just before Thanksgiving. He said he's until December 31st.
You're talking about Ray? His name is Ray, the head of the FBI. Is that who you're talking about? W-R-A-I.
Here in Michigan?
No, in Michigan.
The FBI with the AG.
Attorney
that's
General?
Looking into the UAW.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He said he got to December 31st.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, they're talking about one member, one vote.
Oh, I hope so.
So.
I hope so.
We have a problem with one member, one vote. There's nothing wrong with one member, one vote.
The problem is all of these
different little groups.
Yep, I can see.
You cannot. Yeah, you got to come together. Somebody, you got to come together. You got to work with each other.
Uh-huh.
Especially if you're trying to get an old regime out.
That's right.
You want improvements. You can sit up and you can do this and you can do that. And, mm-hmm. and I'm leading this and I'm leading that. You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
But you got to think.
Yeah, you don't come together. And I think I know who you're talking about.
It's nationwide. You got to remember that it's nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody got a little group.
That's right.
You're not going to make it that way. I don't care how many followers you got.
No.
If there's somebody that's way away from you, they got a little group over there, too.
That's right. That's right.
They're going to be voting for their people.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got a stronghold in there.
I can't believe they haven't figured this out. I really can't.
Well,
it's disgusting because nothing's going to get done until these people get together. And now's the time to get together because this is when the time something can get done if the FBI says, hey, we're changing the rules here, one vote per member. You guys can make a difference. But if you keep this bullshit childish crap going, sorry.
Yep.
Nothing will get.
Everybody's going to be left in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
Somebody needs to pick up a phone and say, hey, let's bury the hatchet and not in each other's back either. Just bury the hatchet and let's work together on this. And bring the whole group together. Can you imagine?
Yep.
Then you can make a difference because there is enough people
then you can make a difference.
Spread out over different plants, you know, and Ford, General Motors, all kind of, you know, here we go.
Yep.
And then we could have a say in what the hell is going on. But now it's just nothing.
Yeah, we tried something at the last convention, you know. We had... 1, 2, 3 were going to run for president. And the three groups came together. And we, you know, it was like, well, hey, we can't do it this way, you know.
Right.
If, you know, one person and two of them said, well, no, they were running. One said, well, I'm willing to step back.
Yeah.
I just want to run for a position.
Right.
That person, I respect it.
Yep.
For
you
doing
step
that
back and, you can if he didn't step back, what would happen? You know,
exactly.
You step up and the other person, third person gets in.
And so when it came time for nominations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two that wouldn't step back didn't get nominated.
Well, that's not a surprise.
And the person that had stepped back got nominated to run for president.
There you go.
I sat there and I said, oh, how wonderful this is.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you did try to come together, but, this is the way things work.
Yeah.
But still, you didn't have the strength to run against the administration caucus because you didn't have the delegates and, you
right.
know.
So Adrian,
they just
have said 60 seconds. They just said 60
well,
seconds.
Well, I'm going to say, Don, I hope you have a wonderful night on your podcast that you're going to be on. I shall try to call tomorrow.
I'm sure
everyone out there,
hey,
you all stay safe and have a very good week.
Hold on, go wear out. Is it James? Go wear him out, whatever his name is. Your husband.
James, my husband.
Yeah, who the hell you think I was talking about? The mailman? Jesus.
I don't even know the mailman's name.
Holy shit. Maybe James shouldn't go anyplace and stay home. I'm waiting for a response, and I get nothing. I get nothing.
You know, we getting up in age. I can't wear him out. He got to go, you know. He got to have his strength when he
Okay.
I'll give him a few days of break.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Holy Christ, yeah.
I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You do that. We'll be on at 9. It'd be nice to see you. And and everybody in chat room, or not chat room, but switchboard, thank you for staying on and listening to just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It was pretty fun. We'll be back to the regular scheduled program next Sunday night with Scott, and he'll be here and join us then. Yes. It's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time right here on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Adrian, thank you. You're
thank
wonderful.
You.
And I love you, and you take care of yourself, and go spank James. You know what I'm saying to
love
you.
Love you more. Okay, I shall do that.
Okay, hon. Tell James to have
good
a good
night.
Time. I'm sorry about you, his brother. Good night.
Good night.